Greetings. My name is the Reverend Lisa Mason, and I have the great honor of being the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Larchmont. I pray that you enjoy this time together. I'm inviting you to open your minds and hearts to whatever message God is sending you during this sermon. I think of a sermon as an invitation, an opportunity to break open scripture together, whether we are diving into what was happening in the world at the time the story happened, or whether we are discovering what this scripture means to you today in your life, or all the above, whatever God is calling you to hear, to find healing, to find hopeful, to find clarifying, to find reassuring. I pray that this time does that for you, that you have something that you can go away from this time together with, knowing that it was meaningful and you are thankful that you joined and participated. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. I love Pentecost. I love the mystery and wonder that the Holy Spirit offers us. The Holy Spirit is the most mysterious person of our Trinitarian God, but you can't see it, you can't touch it, but you can feel it. We talk about the Holy Spirit as a tongue of fire or a flame. We talk about it as wind. We talk about it as a dove. We talk about it in a lot of ways. But my personal favorite is in the gospel we hear this morning, and that is as the breath of God. The Hebrew for breath is one of my favorite Hebrew words, ruach. You got to say it. Don't you love that word? The ruach of God. The breath of God. It harkens us back to the fact that the Holy Spirit made itself known on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit has been in us since the beginning of creation. It is that ruach of God that breathes life in us. That ruach of God that we're called to breathe out. Now, the Holy Spirit is often referred to as she, because women, I guess, are unpredictable and they move where they want. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with that or not. I believe sometimes it keeps men from thinking that they need to have a direct relationship with the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit, and we all have the Holy Spirit. It's that Holy Spirit that gives us the courage, the strength to put one foot in front of another, even in the hardest of times. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us with that strength to just be still and be present when words are not enough or even needed. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us with the words that we need at times in our life for which there are no words. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us to use our gifts to make a difference in this world, to spread the love of God. There are so many things that God calls us to do, so many places, so many people that God puts in our lives. And often we think, I'm not enough. I don't have enough. I don't know enough. God can't possibly be calling me to do this. and the Holy Spirit shows up and without a doubt reminds us that we are enough because God makes us enough. Yesterday was the 14th anniversary of my ordination to the transitional diaconate. There are permanent deacons. We have plenty of them and many of them in the Diocese of New York, and they're fabulous. But when you're on the journey to become ordained as a priest, the first vows we take are that of a deacon. And then 6 months to a year, you then are ordained to the priesthood. The deacon's primary ministry call is to make the church aware of the needs of the world. Now, I know you might find this fascinating, but sometimes the church can just only focus on the church, navel-gazing at ourselves, and who's in and who's out and who's right and who's wrong. So a deacon reminds us that we are to be a church that is relevant in the world, and we need to know what the needs are of the world and the community around us so that we can be the church and be with people on the journey as they need us. And I was ordained, thankfully, in the church that we grew up in. And so 2 days prior to that, we had the incredible gift of going down and staying out at one of the conference centers that our previous diocese owns. And it's on the water. It's on the beach. And I don't know about you, but the wind and the water and the sand are one of the ways that I directly feel the Holy Spirit. And so I don't even know how many miles I ran or walked those 2 days trying to figure out why in the world God was calling me to ordained ministry. After all, I had wrestled for 6 years trying to talk God out of it. And so then we got to the church, and I remember standing in the back of the church thinking, I don't have a clue what I'm getting into, and I don't think I'll be enough. I don't think I'm going to get it right. I don't know why God is calling me. And then the Spirit moved in me, and I thought about how many thousands of Sundays have I processed down this aisle in one way or another as a probably noisy toddler, all the way up to a person in the choir. Think about, this was the place my husband and I were both baptized. It's the church where both of our sons were baptized. We were married in that church. We were all confirmed in that church. And not too long before I was ordained to the diaconate, that church had laid hands on our older son as he answered the call to go be a missionary in Belarus. Surely God would do something in me. As I knelt down with Bishop laying their hands on his hands on me, surrounded by about 38 to 40 priests, I felt that Spirit surge and thought, just trust the Spirit. The Spirit moves in us, whether it's to have the courage to introduce yourself to your next door neighbor, the courage to raise children, the courage to walk alongside people who are suffering, who have been hurt by the church and hurt by the world. The Spirit is always moving through us, in and out. We breathe in and we breathe out. For me, that's a reminder that we just can't contain the Spirit within us where we feel all safe about it. You can't hold your breath forever. You've got to breathe out. And then when you've breathed out all that God has given you to do in that breath, you breathe back in. The Spirit is in all of us. No matter who we are, no matter how long we believed in God, whether we're questioning we believe in God, whether we don't think we believe in God, the Spirit is in you. Trust it. Breathe in and breathe out. And no matter where you find yourself, the Spirit will flow out of you, and then you'll be refilled. I really became to believe that no matter what language we speak, no matter where we are in this world, the Spirit translates for us. I had a gift one of the times when Rand was in Belarus, and I went over, and I was invited to, I don't know if you remember this, Rand, I was invited to a Bible study in the home of a Belarusian, in the apartment of a Belarusian. Now, I always just counted on Rand to speak for me, so I didn't know much Belarusian or Russian, and something in me said, this is important to go. So I go into a room of women who very few understood English, and they asked me to pray. And I thought, I have no idea what this is going to look like, but I'll do it. And so I started praying. And as I was praying in English, they began to pray both in Belarusian, in Russian, and in tongues. There were women speaking in tongues. I didn't need to worry about what God was calling me to pray, because God was calling all of us to lift up our voices in prayer and in hope and in grief and in love. The Spirit moves through us and speaks to each and every person if we have ears to hear and hearts to love. I invite you to take some time today to breathe in, be aware of it, and breathe out. Breathe in God, breathe out the Spirit, and God will take it where it needs to go. Once again, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for this time together. I pray that we always remember that we are part of a much bigger story, the story of God's love for God's people and the call for us to learn how to love God and learn how to love each and every other person we encounter with the kind of love that God has for us. And now for a blessing. Be present to today. Do not be anxious about what might happen tomorrow. The same God who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow. God will either shield you from suffering, or you will be given the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace then, and cast aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day, and remain with you forever. Amen.